From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. As the first international peacekeepers head to Afghanistan, tensions are already emerging over exactly what their role should be. The United Nations has given the peacekeepers a mandate to use force as necessary to maintain security in Kabul. But today, Afghanistan's incoming defense minister insisted that international troops should not be allowed to use force and called their presence mainly symbolic. The disagreement is one of many that interim Prime Minister Hamid Karzai will have to handle. But as members of the new government gather in Kabul for the transition of power on Saturday, it appears most Afghans are willing to give the new system a chance. From Kabul, NPR's Jackie Lydon reports.
In the raucous markets of Kabul, past people selling playing cards and thermoses and mirrors, there's ample evidence of how money and politics have flowed together in Afghanistan and how fractious that's been in the past in what remains essentially a collection of ethnic fiefdoms. Abdul Wali, a money changer, flips through a thick wad of bills. These are not Afghan bills. They're called dostomis, money printed by and named for Rashid Dostum, warlord of the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif.
This is the dostum money, and you can see the difference between colors of them. This is most green than the money of the government.
The Russians bought dostum as printing press, and his currency looks almost like Afghan notes. Dostum was not given a post in the interim government, and he has criticized the power-sharing arrangement. But he has said he's willing to support it if he can keep control of Mazar-e-Sharif. Dostum, an Uzbek, is viewed with distrust in the anti-Taliban Northern Alliance, and yet somehow all anti-Taliban forces are now to be coalesced in one defense ministry. That will be an enormous challenge. But the grumbling that's been heard since the Bonn conference of December 5th is lowering as everyone considers what there is to lose. Only a week ago, titular president Burhanuddin Rabbani referred to the Bonn agreement as something imposed on Afghanistan by the outside world. But this past Sunday, President Rabbani went on national television and called on all Afghans to come together.
We should remember the bitter experiences of the past, and in order not to bring this new opportunity to a standstill, and in order that our people don't see any more conflict, in order to get rid of individual power and to replace fighting and chaos with peace, we are supporting the Bonn Conference.
U.S. Envoy James Dobbins praised Rabbani's comments, calling him a key player in the transition of power. Dobbins has met with Rabbani, with the Defense Minister Mohammad Fahim, and with incoming Prime Minister Karzai. Afghan pundits think that American pressure and enticements, including offers of substantial aid, have succeeded in muting criticisms of the power-sharing arrangement, at least for the time being. Professor Faizullah Jalal, who is chairman of the Faculty of Law at Kabul University, says Rabbani may have voiced his opposition all over the world, but no longer. The word in Kabul, he adds, is that Rabbani and Karzai are cooperating fully in preparation for the transition.
There is no problem in the capital, but maybe we're faced with problems in the outlying areas where we have these warlords. It's possible that Rabbani and Karzai will solve the problems with them. The other groups were reluctant and unhappy about being left out of the cabinet. They complained to anyone who would listen, but now we're hearing less from them than we were before.
As the new government prepares to take office, the first contingents of a multinational peacekeeping force have begun to arrive in Kabul. Some analysts here see the troop deployment as another reason for optimism. As one local observer puts it, Afghanistan's transition takes place in a tinderbox, and it only takes a spark to ignite. Jackie Lydon, NPR News, Kabul.